This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, listening today to a man who survived Omaha Beach on D-Day, E.T. Roberts of Bakersfield, California. You can hear the entire original interview at hometownheroesradio.com. We've heard about how he almost died in the water before he ever hit the beach on June 6th, how less than a month later he was wounded at St. Lo, taken to England to heal up. You have this time to recover from your wounds, and then you have to go right back into combat. Did you have a different perspective from that point on? Were you thinking, you know what, I survived this, God's going to carry me through? Or did you think, you know what, I've been hit once, it's probably going to happen again?
When I went back into combat in the breast there, when I reported to the officer, he said, well, I'm going to give you a squad and everything. I said, okay. I said, I'll take them, but I really don't want to. And he said, it's command. You have to take them and take them up and move them up. And I said, well, I've had quite a bit of combat already and everything. And he was a new officer in there. And I said, well, that's pretty rough up there. I said, if you move them up there, they're going to all get killed by artillery. I said, they're sitting right down under a hill there in that submarine fort there, the old underground city. They called it the Underground City in there is what they called it. I moved them up there, and then they all got shot, and it didn't stand too good with me because I'd done been through so much already that I just give them a piece of my mind, and they didn't like it very good, but we got it over with anyway, so.
And to clarify that, and you mentioned that earlier about you getting, you know, bucked down in rank back to private because of that. But basically what it was you knew that was going to happen. You saw it coming, and they made you endanger the lives of the guys under you, and that made you angry. Do I have that right?
You got that right. And what I say, we call them 90 days wonders. Officers goes in this schooling and takes to be an officer to fight in combat. I think he should go in and train in the combat. I mean, shooting and doing things instead of studying. Combat's not in a book. I mean, that's something that they can't write in a book is combat. I mean, it's knowing how to work in combat. You can't, like Private Ryan, I see that picture as part of that. Yeah. And I can't watch it because it's so unreal because people don't stand up and run in combat straight up. Or you don't run straight into combat. You move around into combat. If you stand straight up, you're going to die. I'll guarantee you that, if you are in combat. And you see some things like that. When you hit the ground, you better hit the ground as low as you can and be ready to pull off some firing. And learn how to spread your feet out flat. It's just a lot of things that I see there in pictures that way that can never compete with what we were trained and what we done.
And you made it through the end of the war with the blue and gray of the 29th Infantry Division. Do you remember how you found out that Germany had surrendered? Do you remember what it felt like to find that news?
Well, you know, it wasn't over for us. We had to go in and pull some duty. We had to pull guard duty and everything for the civilians because they didn't know that they'd been occupied with Poland, and the Russians and everyone else had done work in themselves into France and took them people's homes and stuff that we had to run civilian people all back to their countries and stuff. So that's what we had to do. I stayed over there about 2 months doing that.
As if you hadn't done enough already, huh?
Yeah. And after that, one day they put me on guard duty out on the Autobahn going to Berlin on one side of the road to check what was going in or what was coming out. And there's some lady ran up to me and she said, soldier, she said, a Marine just robbed me or took my watch and my ring and took my money and everything and said he's going to Berlin. And there was a railroad station about 500 yards away from there. Said he's going to catch that train out of that railroad station over there. She said, could you help me? And I said, well, I can't leave my post here. And my buddy over there, I was on one side of the road and I had a friend was on the other side of the road. And my buddy said, go ahead and go up and help her. Said, I can hold us down if you get back. I went over there, and there was a Marine. She said, there he is. He's running. The train pulled in. She said, there he is. He's running about 500-600 yards from me there. He said, "That's him over there." So I shot over his head. He didn't stop. I hollered halt at him. He didn't stop. And he kept running. So I said, "Well, I will stop him." And I pulled down on him and shot him in the hip. Shot him well in the thigh and the leg. And went up to him, we did, when he fell out there. And that lady, she got her watch, rings, and got everything back. And so I took him down, told him to get up and go down and get on this train. And when he started to get on the train, that conductor, whoever that was there, said, no, he's not going to get on this train. So I had to pull a gun on him. I said, "Yeah, he's going on that train." That guy said, "Yeah, he is too." So they pulled him on the train. That's the last I ever heard of that. I could have been very well court-martialed real bad for that.
Yeah, this sounds more like the Old West than World War II from some of these stories you're telling. A couple more questions for you. You told us the story of your Purple Heart getting wounded near St. Lo, but I also see on your wall a bronze star. Was there a particular action that they gave you that for?
Well, that's just like... I was the first scout in when we first went in there. I was first scout, and they give me that for being the. I go in there and draw fire, and they give me that bronze star for that.
Yeah, that's a pretty dangerous duty to say the least. And I understand you had a sweetheart back home in Oklahoma. You were hoping to come back to.
Yeah, I got married to a little girl, so.
Had to survive all that and get home first.
Yeah, I had marriage of 65 years. I lost her last December, and very happy marriage.
Well, and that's, I know I do this every week with every veteran, but it's really amazing to me. You talked about God having a hand in preserving your life and God having a plan for you, and when you think about your 7 grandkids, your 2 sons, not to mention all the ball players your son has coached at Centennial High. They never would have had him as a coach. You never would have made it back to see your wife again and have this family. And all these last nearly 70 years wouldn't have happened. Have you ever stopped and thought about that and thought how amazing it is you survived everything you came through?
That's why I trust in God to help me through each and every day. It's to get me up and born, get me going. I'm pretty well wore out my back and from carrying flamethrowers, and then I've had 2 open heart surgeries and 5 bypasses and everything, and my throat cut, 2 discs put in there, and God's got work for me to do yet, and I'm going to be around a few days to do it, and that's the reason I give him the praise. It's such a goodness that he does for me.
Amen. And one of the more recent adventures you got to go on was back to Washington, D.C., thanks to Honor Flight Kern County. You and your brother together on a plane to see the World War II Memorial.
No, my brother had been back the month before me, but my son, maybe Randy, went with me. Yeah, my brother's telling me a little bit about it, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place to see. It really is.
What stood out for you? I know they have every state listed, and you spent some time at Oklahoma and California, I'm sure, but what was the highlight of that experience for you?
Is seeing that World War II museum thing that they have set up for World War II. That brought back the whole war to me. I mean, that I saw so much, so many dead, by up to the thousands, and the things that happened that... I don't know how a person can ever live to tell about it. And that's what came through my heart and soul at that time, and that God spared me for this, what I'm doing now.
And I know it's not easy to talk about, and I hear the emotion in your voice, but something tells me that standing in front of that fountain with the backdrop of 4,000 gold stars, each representing 100 Americans who died in the war, that sight had meaning for you.
Yes, it did. It's wonderful, wonderful to see. It's amazing how anyone can do that good things for the people to see, but the young generation, people don't understand what the flag and what God Bless America means. But you go there and they do know what it means. They done had the bomb dropped on them. They know what the shaking up is, what death means. But I think myself a lot of times that everyone should go through that, but no, they couldn't go through it. There's so many that couldn't go through that, but that's, I think if we need to put this in the book in history and stuff, there's World War II, and let's teach it so people understand what World War II is all about.
Well, and I guess that's how we can wrap it up. I mean, I want to thank you for serving our country, for putting your life on the line, and for telling us about it, because I know it's not easy with the things you went through that so many did not see the intensity you did. So if it is in a book, if it is going to be remembered by your kids and your grandkids and great-grandkids, what is it that you most want them to remember about you and all those millions of Americans who went off to war?
That I did my best to get the liberty and get home and see my family and stuff and enjoy life again, which I thank God for giving me these days that he's given me. And my grandkids, I love them all, and I hope to have a few more great days in life. And I have wonderful, wonderful people that I've talked to. Thank you.
That is E.T. Roberts. What a story, huh? Just an example of the kind of person that stormed the beaches of Normandy 70 years ago this Friday. Just imagine what the 2,500 Americans killed there that day would have done with their lives. Instead, they paid the price for us and so many others. We're out of time, but when all those news stories start flooding in over the next week about the 70th anniversary of D-Day, take a little time out to take it in and really ponder what it means when we say those words you hear me conclude with every time, freedom is not free.